found this interesting. We actually found that there was a vaccine that was attempted to be made after, remember SARS? SARS, and we're all talking about SARS because it was the last time we had a coronavirus that scared the hell out of everybody around the world. Now, it didn't spread as far as we thought. It didn't end up being quite as deadly as we thought it would be, but it really scared us. And right after that, we went into trying to make a vaccine for SARS. Well, we looked into this and we discovered there's about four studies that we looked at, and they all had a natural similarity. This study right here that was in PLOS ONE, immunization with SARS coronavirus vaccine leads to pulmonary immunopathology on challenge with the SARS virus. Let's take the next part. All mice exhibited, remember, all mice in the animal study exhibited histopathological changes in lungs 2 days after the challenge. Challenge meaning with an animal study, you can actually put them in contact with the SARS coronavirus that they were vaccinated from. And essentially what they discovered was these mice were getting extremely sick, essentially having what appeared to be like a cytokine storm, not from the virus. It wasn't happening to the mice that didn't get the vaccine, only the ones that got the vaccine. The one that had antibodies from the vaccine were actually overreacting to the virus. And it goes on to say we're suffering from, in this part of the article, necrotizing vasculitis was prominent in medium and large blood vessels involving vascular endothelial cells. I don't want to get too far into the weeds. This is some deep science, but let's look at vasculitis. We look up vasculitis, and here's what we find. Complications from vasculitis can be what? Organ damage, blood clots, and aneurysms. Here was the conclusion from the studies. These SARS-CoV vaccines all induced antibody and protection against the infection. They seemed to work. However, when challenged, a challenge of mice given any of the vaccines led to occurrence of Th2 type immunopathology, suggesting hypersensitivity to SARS-CoV components was induced. Caution, look at this. Caution in proceeding to application of a SARS-CoV vaccine in humans is indicated. Obviously, those were the last studies ever done before we rushed, warp-speeded this product. We went against those cautions. Don't go to human trials. We're having a real problem here with animals that the vaccine seems to be helping the virus infect and kill the animal. I mean, this was something, and I want you to think about that. We were just playing this video. I said, I want to know how far back I talked about antibody-dependent enhancement. And we pulled that video up, February 2020. But it blew my mind. I forgot that we mentioned blood clots then. We actually named blood clots was a concern before you ever heard blood clots being announced by AstraZeneca in England or by Johnson & Johnson here, or the proof that we've seen that Pfizer and Moderna cause those issues, blood clots, thrombocytopenia, all of that became breaking news almost at least a half a year later when we were finally giving this to the population of the world. So just to show you the high wire, this is what happens when you help fund us to work with world-renowned scientists. This isn't me, by the way, by myself going, oh, I just found this, you know, this great set of studies. We ask questions, and then we go out to world-renowned scientists, many of whom remain anonymous, so that we can bring you the cutting-edge information. And if that doesn't prove right there that we were ahead of the game, but that's not my point. It's not that we were ahead of the game. I want to talk about that was a concern. Antibody-dependent enhancement, which means the vaccine creates antibodies, but those antibodies don't actually protect. Somehow they help the virus in a paradoxical way infect the body and cause a total immune system meltdown. Now, about a month or just a few weeks after we made that claim and said this was what we were going to be watching in the warp speed of this, we were concerned to see if they were going to overcome this problem in trials. Dr. Peter Hotez from Baylor College, who's the head of the Tropical Medicine Department, he makes vaccines for a living. He hates my guts. But in this moment, he happened to actually, you know, just weeks later, say exactly what we were warning about in front of the Congress. Here's him warning the Congress.
One of the things that we're not hearing a lot about is the unique potential safety problem of coronavirus vaccines. This was first found in the early 1960s with respiratory syncytial virus vaccines, and it was done here in Washington with the NIH and Children's National Medical Center, that some of those kids who got the vaccine actually did worse And I believe there were two deaths as in the consequence of that study, because what happens with certain types of respiratory virus vaccines, you get immunized, and then when you get actually exposed to the virus, you get this kind of paradoxical immune enhancement phenomenon. When we started developing coronavirus vaccines and our colleagues, we noticed in laboratory animals that they started to show some of the same immune pathology that resembled what had happened 50 years earlier. So we said, oh my God, this is going to be problematic. And these clinical trials are not going to go quickly because of that immune enhancement. It's going to take time.
Okay, so immune enhancement. Remember, this can be called a bunch of different things. It can be called antibody-dependent enhancement, immune enhancement, disease enhancement, pathogenic priming, all of those being the same thing, where the body is primed to overreact when it comes in contact with the virus and thereby potentially killing the host that received the vaccine. That was the warning. Now, when we finally saw the emergency use authorization being applied for, which was the first time we were going to see what had happened in the trials and whether or not they had covered this disease enhancement or immune enhancement issue, we reported this, that it was shocking to find that in it, this is what they said about immune enhancement. However, risk of vaccine-enhanced disease, what Peter Hotez and the High Wire have been warning about over time, potentially associated with waning immunity, remains unknown and needs to be evaluated further in ongoing clinical trials and in observational studies that could be conducted following authorization and/or licensure. I mean, just think about, you're seeing it all play out right now, how reckless the FDA is. But here you had a deadly problem with your animal trials. The animals were dying because the vaccine was having this paradoxical effect that Peter Hotez is worrying about and talking about, where the vaccine helps the virus kill the animals or infect their lungs and cause what are like what we call cytokine storm, immune system meltdowns, Th2 immunopathology. All of that. Well, I want to say this. If I played you the whole Hotez clip, he would explain to you that they don't really know what causes antibody-dependent enhancement or disease enhancement, but there are speculations. And so when you see what that says, that FDA EUA approval, and they said it on every one of the vaccines approved for America, essentially, we have not looked at the overall, the waning of the vaccine could lead to this disease enhancement. More studies would need to be done. This is what I want to focus on, but let me try to make this clear. I've talked about antibody-dependent enhancement. We've called about disease enhancement. We've talked about, you know, neutralizing antibodies and binding antibodies, but let me try and do this with a couple of dolls here to make this make sense. I haven't really rehearsed this. I know my team is freaking out. They just brought me these. We ran through really quick. All right, imagine that these two guys right here are bouncers keeping you out. It's a club. Let's think of like a club scenario. You're going out to the club, and these two, well, the virus is going out to the club being your immune system, right, or your cells. So this cat comes up. This is SARS-CoV-2. You know what I mean? He's not really dressed appropriately to get into the club. He's going to be damaging to the club. He's going to ruin all of, you know, what it stood for over the years of being cool and, you know, sexy. He's going to kill the whole thing, right? So he comes up to the club and he says, I want in. I want to get in the club. And they say, no, you're not allowed. We are neutralizing antibodies. If you try to get into the cell, if you try to get in the club, we are going to kill you dead. Otherwise known as a sterilizing vaccine. We're going to sterilize you. Well, I don't believe you. He tries to get through. Bam, boom. Oh, wait, let me jump in there. Okay. Bouncers did their job. This dude's out. That's what happens, right? These are neutralizing antibodies. And we talked about the fact that the first shot of the vaccine doesn't really create many neutralizing antibodies. They create something different, which is called binding antibodies. Now, binding antibodies in my little scenario here are a little bit more like the club girls, right? This guy, you can sit there, and we've all been that guy that couldn't get in the club, but they're the pretty girls. They show up, they say, hey, they don't really have a pass, they don't even pay, they just kind of go right in. Yeah, come on in, ladies, go right ahead. So that's what binding antibodies are, moving around the body. They're kind of friends with the neutralizing antibodies. No issue there, right? But here's the problem. Here's the problem that they're talking about with the waning immunity. Waning immunity really gets to be an issue if the waning immunity is your neutralizing antibodies. If your neutralizing antibodies suddenly start disappearing, let's just take one of the bouncers away, and now you only have one bouncer, and what you really have still floating around your body are these binding antibodies. What do the binding antibodies do? Well, the binding antibodies, you know, here comes the virus. He comes walking up. He wants to get in the club. The binding antibodies just kind of throw their arm. They throw their arm around the virus. like, hey, you're kind of cool. We're going to hang out. And you know, we know that the neutralizing antibodies used to seeing the binding antibodies. And he kind of goes, oh, well, you know what? I guess I can lend them the cup. They look like a good group of people. And there it goes. The binding antibodies, sometimes called the disease-enhancing antibodies, just help the virus into the cells, into the club, past the centurion here, which was your neutralizing antibodies. That, I hope, helps you understand. You don't want too many binding antibodies. You want more neutralizing antibodies that will kick the crap out of the virus if it shows up. This is the problem with waning immunity. And so now we just saw the FDA is saying we're concerned if the vaccine starts waning with its immunity, we could see this antibody-dependent enhancement problem. So next, then we found this article that was put together. This is a research study funded by the NIH, funded by Tony Fauci's group himself. This is informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial subjects of risk of COVID-19 vaccines worsening clinical disease. Now, what these guys are saying is we need informed consent. And remember, this is back with the emergency use authorization. Look what it goes on to say, what you should get consent about. Conclusions drawn from the study and clinical implications. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk of ADE should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects currently in vaccine trials, as well as those being recruited for the trials and future patients after vaccine approval, in order to meet the medical ethics standard of patient comprehension of informed consent. Okay, do you see what they're saying? It is so possible. There is such a great risk of this immune enhancement, antibody-dependent enhancement issue, that we believe everybody that is getting the vaccine should be told about it, what it is. There is this chance that you could come into contact with a coronavirus this fall or next year, and suddenly, instead of being protected, this vaccine could help that virus penetrate your cells, make you more sick, and potentially lead you closer to an inevitable death. This is what they thought. Now, have you heard of a single person getting this vaccine being warned about ADE? Did you even hear about ADE? When you bring it up at parties, does anyone know about it? Because this study funded by the NIH said everybody should know about ADE, but we didn't, right? So now waning immunity, right? That is the concern. Waning immunity is really the culprit when they're concerned about ADE. And that's when we saw this. Pfizer admits, this is just August 5th. This is just a few weeks ago. Pfizer says immunity can drop to 83% within 4 months in people who got its COVID-19 shot, further bolstering the company case for a booster. Do you see where I'm going with this, folks? We have waning immunity now being admitted by the manufacturer themselves, and the way they're going to band-aid this little problem, if it's little, is with a booster shot. But maybe the problem's a little bit worse than waning to 83%, because at about the same time, there was an independent study of the Pfizer vaccine. We showed you this video. Let me show you it again, and I want you to watch it through this new lens, thinking, are what we are about to experience, is this potentially going to be antibody-dependent enhancement? Listen to this.
So the key message from our finding is that we found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies. Now, these are the sort of gold standard private security antibodies of your immune system, which block the virus from getting into your cells in the first place. So we found that that's less for people with two doses. We've also found that for people with only one dose of the Pfizer jab, that they are less likely to have high levels of these antibodies in their blood. And perhaps most importantly for all of us going forward is that we see that the older you are, the lower your levels are likely to be. And the time since you've had your second jab, as that time goes on, the lower your levels are also likely to be. So that's telling us that we're probably going to be needing to prioritize boosters for older and more vulnerable people coming up soon, especially if this new variant spreads.
He very clearly laid out what I just said too, which is basically those sort of guardians of the immune system, those neutralizing antibodies, if those wane, you have a real problem and you're going to need a booster, right? But how big is the problem? He was in an article talking about his investigation. Here's the details of what he was laying out. UK scientists back COVID boosters as study finds post-jab falls in antibodies. How bad is it falling? Let's take a look. The UCL Virus Watch study found that antibodies generated by two doses of the Oxford AstraZeneca and Pfizer BioNTech vaccine started to wane as early as 6 weeks after the second shot. In some cases, falling more than 50% over 10 weeks. 50%. Now, I want you to look at that. 6 weeks after the second shot. Now, remember, they don't even consider you vaccinated until after 2 weeks of getting that second shot because you don't have enough antibodies then. So you're still unvaccinated after two shots until 2 weeks in. So by 6 weeks, you're all being waning. There's like 4 weeks that this vaccine is at full power before it starts waning. And at 10 weeks, you could have lost half of your guardians at the gate, leaving prey, you know, your immune system to a couple of club girls bringing the virus right into your system. Okay, so now we know that it's seriously waning in levels that no one ever really imagined would be true, except here. We were telling you from the beginning in the trials we saw that it did not appear to stop infection or transmission, but nobody else seemed to care. Now we're starting to see articles about ADE. This is one that's in the Journal of Infection. Infection-enhancing anti-SARS-CoV-2 antibodies recognize both original Wuhan strain and Delta variants of potential risk for mass vaccination. Here's what it says. As the NTD, the N-terminal domain, is also targeted by neutralizing antibodies, our data suggests that the balance between neutralizing and facilitating antibodies, those are the little club girls there, in vaccinated individuals is in favor of neutralization for the original Wuhan strain, meaning in the original strain, the vaccine did pretty good at having a balance between the bouncers and the club girls, the neutralizing and the facilitating antibodies, but look at this. However, in the case of the Delta variant, neutralizing antibodies have a decreased affinity for the spike protein, whereas facilitating antibodies display a strikingly increased affinity. Thus, ADE may be a concern for people receiving vaccines based on the original Wuhan strain spike sequence. Under these circumstances, second-generation vaccines with spike protein formulations lacking structurally conserved ADE-related epitopes should be considered. The possibility of ADE should be further investigated as it may represent a potential risk for mass vaccination during the current Delta variant pandemic. It's a little bit alarming, isn't it? You see what I'm saying? Why would they push a booster? What is the rush? I mean, it's going to get in the way of your, you know, propaganda for us all to get vaccinated. Because is it possible? Is it just possible that right now Rochelle Walensky is saying, wait, what? Why didn't anybody tell me about ADE before you made me the poster child for this vaccine? Before you put me in front of all the cameras and said, oh, Rochelle, it works great. All the tests, perfectly safe, perfectly. Then the FDA is going to approve it. Get out there. You're going to be a hero. And now she's saying, wait a second. What is happening? What is happening? And so is this, you know, I want to go to a video where Walensky really gets, here it shows you sort of the balance, right? It was okay with the Wuhan, with the Delta, the ADE is much more possible. And this is what we're in the middle of. I think what really, if there's anything that blew my mind, it was when we have been saying for months, but really recently, look at Israel, look at Israel. If we're going to figure out what's going on, you got to go to the most vaccinated nation in the world where immunity has dropped with the vaccine down to 39%. Why are we talking about, remember when we were talking about it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated? We said, no, it can't be because Israel is fully vaccinated and they've dropped down to 39%. 70 to 90% of their hospitals are filling up with what? Vaccinated people, meaning it's not reducing their symptoms. The serious cases are the vaccinated. The ones that are dying are the vaccinated. Well, she finally admitted it last week, and it blew my mind. Take a listen to this.
Our top priority is to save lives and prevent severe infections. The data we will publish today and next week demonstrate that vaccine effectiveness against SARS-CoV-2 infection is waning. And even though our vaccines are currently working well to prevent hospitalizations, we are seeing concerning evidence of waning vaccine effectiveness over time and against the Delta variant. Additionally, reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early. Given this body of evidence, we are concerned that the current strong protection against severe infection, hospitalization, and death could decrease in the months ahead, especially among those who are at higher risk or who were vaccinated earlier during the phases of our vaccination rollout. In the context of these concerns, we are planning for Americans to receive booster shots starting next month to maximize vaccine-induced protection. Our plan is to protect the American people and to stay ahead of this virus.
I don't know. I don't want to put any words in anyone's mouth, but that looks like a deer in headlights to me. That looks like someone that is truly terrified of what she is now seeing and is incapable of telling the public what may be going on. She needs to get everybody a third booster. No idea if the third booster works, but is she asking herself, is she sitting in meetings saying, wait a minute, is it possible that we might have rushed 160 million people in America and potentially a billion people or more around the world into their own demise, potential death, serious illness? Is that what this vaccine could be doing when it's waning? This, I believe, has got to be while they're pushing a booster, which is against their best interest. And so let me just point this out. For those of us that have been presenting science on the high wire, and those of you that are watching, trying to present it to everyone you know, and going to start handing this stuff to your employer, we have another way, and there is not consensus. There's never been consensus around this vaccine, and now all of you are admitting what the people on the high wire have been saying. You've been saying it's misinformation, but they've all come to us now. We're all now sitting here in the truth we've been sharing, and now this preprint study just came out, which I think makes the whole point of what we all that are vaccine hesitant and able to read data should be looking at, comparing SARS-CoV-2 natural immunity to vaccine-induced immunity, reinfections versus breakthrough infections. Look what they say. SARS-CoV-2 naive vaccinees, so people who had not had the virus before getting vaccinated, had a 13-fold increased risk for breakthrough infection with the Delta variant compared to those previously infected, meaning they did far worse than people that had just naturally gotten an infection. When the first event, infection or vaccination, occurred during January and February of 2021, it goes on to say the increased risk was significant for symptomatic disease as well, meaning it didn't stop the disease. They got really freaking sick. When allowing the infection to occur at any time before vaccination, evidence of waning natural immunity was demonstrated, though SARS-CoV-2 naive vaccinees had a 5.9-fold increased risk for breakthrough infection and a 7-fold increased risk for symptomatic disease. SARS-CoV-2 naive vaccinees were also at a greater risk for COVID-19 related hospitalizations compared to those that were previously infected. This study demonstrated that natural immunity confers longer lasting and stronger protection against infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization caused by the Delta variant of SARS-CoV-2 compared to the vaccine, two-dose vaccine-induced immunity. I believe that's the Pfizer vaccine. So there you have it. Natural immunity, as I've said before, is our only way forward. And at the very least, in the United States of America and any other free nation, those of you that are listening to us or any of you that are listening that do not live in free nations but dream about what it would be to be free, we must recognize that certainly in a moment where all the science now shows that you lied about the effectiveness of the vaccine or you were just dead wrong and stupid, either way, it is now waning, which brings into light the potential for a deadly outcome, a long-term outcome that may happen the next time we come in contact with the virus. And look at their deadline. They want everybody to get this third dose by September. Huh? What's September? I don't know. The next flu and cold season? That's right. They're terrified of all of the people that got two vaccines to go into this cold and flu season as they are with reduced antibodies. They could be in severe danger if we look at the science. Now, I don't know. I don't know if this is what they're really worried about. I don't know if this is why they're pushing the booster shot. Maybe they just want to be able to say that all the people that are dying and got sick after the second vaccine are really unvaccinated so they can put them in our column. Maybe that's what this is all about. But I am very, very concerned that they are extremely concerned now. And when we think about that concern, just listen to this voice coming from, shouting from Israel. the new prime minister that's inherited this experiment that has now taken place over his nation and his people, brought on by Netanyahu. Here's what he's saying. Listen very carefully. You're going to have to read it because the subtitles are below. Watch this.
נקודה חשובה מאוד שהציבור חייב להפנים, ואני חושב שהרוב לא מבינים עדיין. הציבור הפגיע ביותר באופן פרדוקסלי כרגע זה אלה שעשו שני חיסונים ועוד לא את השלישי. למה? כי הם מסתובבים בתחושה כאילו הם מוגנים, כי הם עשו את שני החיסונים. הם לא מבינים שהחיסון השני דאח אל מול הדלטה, וחייבים מהר להתחסן בחיסון השלישי. לכן אנחנו, כל אחד מאיתנו, גם חברי הכנסת, גלעד קריב שהוא צעיר, ואיתמר בן גביר שהוא צעיר, יש הרבה מאוד צעירים שהם חולים קשה עם אשפוז.
There it is. They are just about a month or so ahead of us in their vaccine push. They got on it early. They want to show the world, look at us. We're going to be the big experiment for the world. Watch us. We're going to beat you to it. And now what are they doing? They're beating us to a dire warning. The most sick are those that have had two vaccinations. You must immediately rush in and get a third vaccination. That is the state of Israel right now as we speak. As our president stands there saying, I am pushing the vaccine, the third booster, whether or not the FDA is with me or not. I am assuming the scientific professionals around him are saying, we've got no choice, Joe. We may be in serious trouble. And speaking of serious trouble with a vaccine program, what happens when your front line completely falls apart? Do you realize how many nurses and doctors are walking away from their lifelong careers to avoid this vaccination? People who are designed to be pro-vaccine, that have pushed vaccines, given them to our babies their entire careers, and when we came back and the baby's having a seizure, they say, oh no, it's not the vaccine, trust us. Those same people are now lining up and saying, I'm going to give up my career if you make me take that vaccine. What happened to them? Right? What happened? Look at the headlines. This is what we're seeing all over the place. Huge numbers of hospital workers still unvaccinated. Biden administration not mandating COVID-19 vaccines for his own White House staff. They're saying no way, and they're allowing it. 53% of military families don't want COVID-19 vaccine, survey shows. In fact, the Pentagon orders all active military to get the vaccine as soon as possible. 800,000 service members still haven't gotten a shot and could face court-martial if they don't. What is going on? When has a nurse or a doctor ever turned down a vaccine? When has a military professional ever turned down a vaccine? They line up all the time. I don't believe it's because they think, oh, well, the science is kind of rushed and I don't trust it. I have to believe that these nurses and these doctors are witnessing with their own eyes carnage from this vaccine, a failure of this vaccine in a way they have never seen before, from speaking individuals that they are losing as they're dropping into their death or being ventilated. That's what they're seeing. That is the only thing that explains why people that are always have been diehard pro-vaccine people are suddenly walking away from their careers and saying, over my dead body, am I taking that vaccine?